no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you, and know that yours to
again, we are hopeful we will hear more of that. Praise God. Love to hear those voices blending together, worshiping the Lord. Praise the Lord. This morning, let us turn to the book of Jude. One little chapter, but so full of glorious truth surrounding this end time. Verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Jude uses three terms to define God's people here. They are sanctified, they are preserved, and they are called. This morning I want to begin a new series entitled Callings of God. Paul recognized those who were called of God when he wrote to the Gentiles there in Romans 1:6. They're called the called of Jesus Christ. Also, that very familiar scripture that we have in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that are the called according to his purpose. It is important for us to understand that the called are going to receive a number of calls from God. And so we are speaking of the callings, plural, that come from him. Matthew 22:14 says it this way, many are called, but few are chosen. There was a little girl who heard the preacher say these words, and to her it sounded like this. Many are cold, but few are frozen. It fits like a glove with today's world and believers, because God's people, for the most part, are not really on fire anymore. There is not that hot pursuit of these deep treasures of God. So this is why we want to notice that there are a number of callings, and indeed we are to answer, we are to pursue every one of them. Jude really lists a number of them here in our text, here in this little chapter. If you will notice in verse 3, he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith." Being called to salvation is wonderful. There's no substitute for that. Men must answer it. But there is something far more, as what Jude says here, and that is earnestly contending for the faith. You will notice he's not talking about contending for faith. Oh, Lord, give me faith, faith, faith. It is the faith. It is the principles of the Word of God for which we must contend today. There was a time when I, for one, thought that this would be just be talking about people who would have different opinions and bring out different doctrines concerning the Scripture. That is directed toward religious organizations and entities. But in the last few months and years, we have seen how government, many political governments, are publishing doctrines that are absolutely contrary to the Scripture. Many of these we've pointed out over the last few messages, and I'm not going into them again, but I want to notice that we must earnestly contend for the faith. We have to answer that call in our own life in order to preserve our own spirituality. It is our own self-defense we are talking about in contending for the faith. Jude mentioned some other calls down through here. Let's go down to verse 22. And he says to us here, "Of some have compassion, making a difference." Jude is again talking about these last days. And he's calling on us. He's calling on the called of God in order to hear that call, heed that call, for compassion unto other people. There are many who are bound by the flesh today, bound by sin and unrighteousness. Some are bound in such a way they simply do not know how to get out of it. There is to be a compassion on our part for that, but let us notice the other side of that. There is another call for us in verse 23, "Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh." Yes, have compassion, but cannot let it go by that they are still wearing, so to speak, the garment spotted by the flesh. It's put that way, it is termed that way, because a garment is what you put on and take off. This one is a garment of flesh. This is what's evident on the outside, being viewed by all. And Scripture says, you can't excuse it. You can't let it go by. You can't just have pity and compassion on it. People must understand that the flesh, yielding to the flesh, is absolutely wrong. Our attitude is hate even the garment spotted by the flesh. Love the person, but hate the garment that he is wearing. Jude's message certainly applies today, but I want to notice another call that he talks about here in verse 24. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. We are living in some of the most perilous and dangerous times that have ever been known to this world. It is at this time we must answer this call for our own, again, self-preservation. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. But not only that, it's not just keeping away from this, that, or something else. He is also able to present you faultless before the presence of the glory with exceeding joy. There are those in the Christian world who deny that this condition, this state of being faultless or blameless is an impossible situation. Not according to God's word. We are called to be that way. And God is able to do it if we but give him the opportunity. The way to do that is to answer the various calls that God gives unto us. This morning's message will enlarge on the very first call that anyone ever receives. We all begin at exactly the same place. I don't care how spiritual we may get, we all began at one place. We'll not turn there, but you know it well. Matthew 11:28 is the call. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. This is the call unto repentance. This is the call unto salvation. And indeed, men must realize it. Men must see it. God gives this call to everyone. We've already seen many are called, but few are chosen. God is faithful to send out the call. It's just that men don't always respond to it. Peter agrees with this same assessment in 2 Peter 3:9 when he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He is not willing that any should perish. This does away with that idiotic idea that some people are predestinated to go to hell. They are not. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It means he has sent out the call to all men to come to repentance. Paul likewise says it this way when he wrote to Timothy, God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. This is God's perspective, and he gives out these calls. It is up to us. It is up to humanity to either answer the call or just completely reject it. There are a great many illustrations in Scripture of these facts, but for this message, I want to look into the life of the Apostle Paul just a little bit. He started out as Saul of Tarsus, as we very well know. Turn back to the first chapter of Galatians. Paul's own testimony of himself and how that he did indeed hear the call and he did answer the call. Galatians 1:15, we read this. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. We're going to see over the next few weeks that there are a number of calls by his grace because any call that we receive is because of the grace of God. It's not due to our own merit. It's not because we are so talented. It's not because we are so good. It's not because we are the elite. It's because of divine grace that God calls us. And so Paul recognized that, and the first call that he received is recorded in Acts 9. We'll not turn there, but you remember the story, how that here was Saul of Tarsus breathing out threatenings and all of these things, and God knocked him down. That is, Jesus knocked him to the ground and down in the dust as he lay there on that dusty road to Damascus. Jesus said to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" This was Jesus' call to Saul. He addressed him personally, directly, and specifically, "Why are you persecuting me?" And then Saul of Tarsus, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Saul answered the call while he was down there in the dust. All alone, everyone else fled, all of these things, just him and the Lord, and this bright light. And he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And so, this is what God is looking for. This is the pattern that God would have repeated in a number of lives. It is important to realize that this same pattern of Paul had already happened long, long ago. Abraham had this experience. It's found in Genesis 12. The Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of the country and unto a land that I will show thee." Joshua gives us more of that story in the 24th chapter of that book. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Abraham served other gods, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan." God called Abraham out of idolatry. He was Abram at the time, but God called him out of idolatry from serving other gods. I want to see in these next few verses how that the Apostle Paul, or indeed Saul of Tarsus at the time, was bound by that same idolatry. God called him out from a number of things in order to call him to some even greater things. Notice here in our text, here in Galatians 1. Let us back up to verse 13. "You have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion." The Jews' religion is nothing more, nothing less than the religion of law. This is what they boasted in. This is what they triumphed in. This is what they had followed by tradition for so many years. And so, "You've heard of my manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion. Beyond measure, I persecuted the church." But Jesus took it personally, as we've already seen. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He called this, I want to see here, as we have seen, he called me by his grace. He called me out of certain things. And so here in verse 13, he called me out, or he called me from being a persecutor. Verse 14, "Prophet in the Jews' religion above many equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers." Again, that tradition was that he was steeped in law. This tradition was, in fact, idolatry. Some might not understand that, and some may indeed have the idea, because God gave the law, then there's no way it to be classified as idolatry. But Scripture tells us that's exactly what Israel made it. Galatians 5:4 says it this way. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. We have seen before, idolatry is when men attribute something to anything that Christ has done to someone else. Here, the law is being attributed to righteousness. It can never do that. When men attribute the law to righteousness and claim that they can be made righteous by the law, they are robbing Christ, because he's the only one that can produce such righteousness. And so Paul is very correct. Christ is become of no effect. That's a horrible thing to say of Jesus, because he's always effectual to the one who will believe him. There is nothing lost. There is nothing missing. There is nothing of a failure in Christ. But one under the law says, he is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. Notice what else Paul was called from. Verse 15. It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. His mother is Mother Israel. God separated Saul of Tarsus, or indeed Paul, from the entire nation of Israel. If you read his testimony in 1 Corinthians 15, you'll find out that he indeed says, I was as one born out of due time. What did he mean? He meant he accepted Christ. He came unto Jesus. He answered the call to salvation before the rest of the nation. The nation will not be born in one day until very near the middle of the tribulation period. And so Paul was indeed called out, or he was separated, as we find here, from my mother's womb. God was pleased to do that. And then, as we read, he called me by his grace. Verse 16. Paul was called out of these things. He was called from these things. But he was called to reveal his Son in me. That is a powerful message. It is God's purpose for every believer. But once again, all believers do not accept that call. It is so imperative that we do exactly that. This term, Christ revealed in you, Christ revealed in me, Galatians 4:19 enlarges a little bit more on that wonderful statement. The Galatians, they were Gentiles. They had received the gospel just like everyone else does. They had been called by his grace. They had come unto Jesus exactly as others have. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Happened to all of them, but there were some Judaizers came down there trying to teach them that they must keep the law in order to come to perfection. Here's what Paul, his advice and instruction to them. This is his call to them. Verse 19. Galatians 4, my little children. He is writing to people who are already believers. So let us understand from the rest of this verse, he's not trying to get them saved. They are already my little children. He wants them to go on to the next call. He wants them to go deeper. And here's what he told them. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Again, they're already believers. They're already children. He wants now for them to answer the call as he had done, that Christ would be revealed in them, or, as he puts it here, formed in them. And this is so important for you and I to understand, because that is not always done in a moment of time. It's a process of time. It's a process of many callings, we might say, as we're going to see over these next few weeks. But overall stated, it is for Christ to be formed in you. When God created the earth as it is now, as it is recorded there in Genesis 1, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, those same days correspond to the days of forming or creation in our lives. God just forms, so to speak, one thing at a time, perhaps. We might want to go to instant perfection, but that's not going to happen. And so he's telling these Galatians, I want Christ to be formed or created in you. And it happens once again over a period of time and really a number of different difficulties, perhaps, adversities. At any rate, a great number of lessons that we must learn in our own experience. Galatians 2:20. I want to see a summation of the callings that we have viewed, a number of them that we see here. Very familiar verse. I am, or I have been, crucified with Christ. This indeed would be a call unto death. It's a call for us to identify with Christ in his death. He's the one that paid the price. But Paul says that he had answered that call. I have been crucified. He was dead in trespasses and sins. He was dead here with Christ as Jesus went down into the grave, paying the price for all of those sins and iniquities and all of those things. And so as we see here, he indeed was called down unto death with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He is called out of the death state into life. This is a wonderful calling, where that we are called out of death, and now God recognizes us alive in Christ. And that's true of all believers. Whether they all realize that or not, it is true that once we have been called out of death, we have been called into this life of being alive in Christ. And so Paul says it this way, I live. But he goes on to tell us there is yet another calling beyond that. As we read here, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This is the call for us to surrender our lives, that Christ would be dominant in every part, in every area of our experience. It is not only me being alive in Christ, it is Christ living in me. So yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He goes further. The life which I now live in the flesh. What life is that? It's the life in this physical, fleshly, human body. And Paul is telling us that we are called, as was he, to let Christ live his life. Jesus wants to live his life over again in this mortal, physical body. And when that happens, I guarantee you the result will be, as Jude called it, blameless. before the Lord completely. No fault in us before the Lord. And so this is life in that every day. And that's the next thing that we must understand here that Paul said here in Galatians 2:20. Life which I now live in the flesh. How do we live that life in this physical day, this physical body? Day after day after day after day. It's a constant thing. It's not just on Sunday. It's not just when others are around. It's not just to please the ideas and desires of others. It's a constant thing that Christ is the constant motivation and in complete control of this mortal body day after day. And so the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This again ties in with what Jude says. Constantly contend for the faith. That same faith is herein described as the faith of the Son of God. And so it is him that must take up every part and parcel of our lives and our experience today. I want to close with Galatians 1:16, where we began. He is to reveal, Paul heard the call, to reveal his Son in me. I want to see the order of God's calling, because people get them reversed many times, one thing ahead of another. God's callings are somewhat in order, as we're going to see throughout these next few weeks. Here we notice, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Before anyone can preach Christ to any degree or any extent, Christ must be revealed in them. We can only preach Christ to the degree that he is revealed in my life. And I would add to that this is something that must apply to all believers and not just those like myself who are in the pulpit or others who may be teaching in one way or another. Every believer is to preach Christ. And the way we do that is his life revealed in me in a very practical way. Paul said it another way. You are our epistle, known and read of all men. People are reading our lives when we are not even aware of it. That's why that our lives must always put on display the Lord Jesus Christ. When we answer that call, we will fulfill what he said here, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen.